Jeff.
On the Civic Media Radio Network, it's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein is our national and presidential expert. He's a noted author. You can find his books at totallyiowa.com in the Twin Cities at Next Chapter Books as well. You can also hear the Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report from his radio station, KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Who is now Jeff, and by the way, you can watch Jeff as well. If you do want to watch the show, it's Radio for Your Eyes on Facebook. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook or Progressive Citizen X Matt McNeil Show on Facebook, and you can see Jeff Stein, who seems to be joining us from some sort of prison facility. Where are you at right now?
Well, I came to this prison facility thinking I'd find you, and you're still at your studio. Hello,
Bail.
Wisconsin. Congratulations on the expansion of the show. No, I'm actually at our radio station studios in the Cedar Rapids, Iowa metro area this afternoon.
Oh, they're so clean and shiny. Oh, I mean, how many radio stations you walk into and it's like, I don't even want to put my fingers near the walls.
And that's why it looks like a prison facility. This is how you build them nowadays. I suppose there are some posters of Rick Springfield down the hall I haven't seen yet, but this will do for now.
It's like the Stranger Things prison. Okay, so it is a production room and a radio station. Prison facility. I'm staying with that that termination. All right. I want to bring up something that I saw this and it blew my mind because I was like, okay, this seems to imply something very strange has happened. We were rolling into this election cycle. Things were looking rough for the Democrats in regards to gas prices, inflation. Then came a week plus of Supreme Court rulings, which really changed the dynamic. The first race up on a national level was the Nebraska one seat. The current representative there had to resign. It was an open seat. Republicans have won this seat. I'm just going to run these numbers past you. 2008, 41 points. These are all the Republican margins of victory. 2008, 41 points. 10, 42, 12, 37, 14, 37, 16, 39, 18, 21, and 20, 22. Still a 20-plus margin of victory for the Republicans in this special election. It was four. It was a four-point. The total number of votes in now show a four-point margin in Nebraska 1, which is not a close to a toss-up seat. This is a very red district. Eastern Nebraska, everything not, including Omaha. It is a very reliable red district, and the Republican who had been winning by 20-plus points only won by four. Your thoughts, first of all, on Nebraska 1.
Well, when you look at 2020, the margin of victory was less than in prior years, but certainly not this. And so as we have talked for many years, and to the new listeners to the program, we've talked for many years about the fact that you have to be careful about taking one election, one vote, and saying it's a harbinger for the entire year. Yes. However, to your point, this was the first test post end of the Supreme Court era of the rulings for this year. That it was this close, that's something in the water. And so now the Democrats who have been saying that this is what they need to run on, the Supreme Court, that's going to put a lot of wind in their sails, don't you think? Because, again, the key to anger, and that's what a lot of people feel in the wake of these Supreme Court rulings. They feel anger. The key to anger is sustaining it. And that's a very hard emotion to sustain from June, July to November. But as you said, it was not looking good before. This may give Democrats something to at least test drive with audiences and see if it can make them forget the economic issues.
The other side of that election, which was very interesting, is there were a lot of Republicans, primarily it sounded like polling was suggesting moderate Republicans, who did not vote, who stayed back. Now, there could be a situation where, oh, we've got this in the bag. That could be the case. But I'm wondering if this January 6th hearing is having a ripple effect through moderate Republicans, especially when it's Republicans themselves who are out there saying, you know, yeah, there was an attempted overthrow of the government here.
I don't think the January 6 hearings are having much of an impact on Republicans at this point. Certainly not with this race, the one that you've just mentioned. I would suggest that it's the reason that, you already posited. Oh, we've got this one in the bag. There's too much to do in the summer. I'm not going to show up. I don't think that, you should read it too broadly. The thing with regard to January 6, you do have a muddy middle of moderate Republicans, of independents, who once everything is distilled down may react to it. The folks who are on the left, this just simply confirms what they thought. The folks on the far right, they're still going to say it's a witch hunt and it doesn't matter what is shown. But when you get to a general election, the thing that might tip people over the edge to vote for a blue ticket as opposed to a red ticket might be the sum of everything with January 6. I still think it's going to be much more of the economy, to a lesser degree, the Supreme Court rulings. But again, if you're somebody who has voted red in the past and you're not sure, this might be the thing, depending on what happens in the next 3 months of testimony, that might be the thing to put you over the top.
I actually disagree under this, guys. From what I have seen from Republicans in the post, end of Roe v. Wade, is a very – either they're quiet – either they're in a safe enough district where they can talk about we're not going to have exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, or they are trying desperately to find some way to say, yeah, abortion is gone, but what we're going to do is we're going to try to increase social programs. See, we're actually moderates now. And there, I think it comes down to this. Outrage for Democrats usually lasts as long as sour cream. If the Democrats lose their fire on Roe v. Wade, the outrage over Roe v. Wade's overturning, then, yeah, it's going to fall back to the economy. And I think that's going to be trouble for the Democrats. But if the Democrats can harness this and stay angry, because they need to stay angry if they're going to correct any of this, if they're going to do that, then it is going to, I think, spell a lot of trouble for the Republicans. We got a race here in the Minnesota 1 race. Jim Hagedorn, the Republican representative down there, passed away because of cancer. That's an open seat. That comes up in here in August. If all of a sudden that seat, I mean, it's not nearly as overwhelmingly Republican as some people play it. I think it's like 2-4 points is what it's been the difference. And Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who's a Democrat, held that seat for many years. So it really is more of a slightly leans R district. If the Democrats win that district by a substantial amount, I think now we're being looking at some signs that there might actually be a problem for Republicans because of those rulings.
Well, I took your last question to be about January 6 more than anything else. With regard to the rulings, yeah, now you've got a different issue, because let's say you're running for the U.S. House and you're a Republican and you're asked about this. You already most likely have said you're pro-life. You can try to dodge it by saying, well, this is a states' rights issue now, and I believe in our republic, and so therefore I don't have to deal with it because it doesn't come before me. It's a states' issue. I don't think you're going to get very far with that argument, okay? But you can try to make it. The trick is going to be on some of these other rulings, and the big thing between now and then, August is still soon enough, Matt, that you're going to have some pretty clear residual effect. What will some of these state Republicans do between now and November? Because that is going to be the true test of this. If, in fact, they go too far, if they try to reclaim everything too fast, that will have a backlash. I can tell you where I'm sitting in the state of Iowa, they already have had the governor, who's up for reelection, strong position. She's already petitioned the Supreme Court to review a past ruling. Now that Roe is no longer precedent, the Supreme Court swatted that back. But in some of these states, and I include my state of Iowa, there's no talk of a special session, but what if there was? What if a governor in a state called a special session, the legislature ran through a draconian, no exceptions rule? That would have huge backlash. The wise counsel, if I were a Republican or if I were a Republican strategist, I'd say do nothing until after November. Because there's not much you can do except screw this whole thing up.
Well, and it brings up the trap. and if I can say, where the Republican trap is with this. In states where abortion is now limited or even outlawed, let's go with Ohio. You have the 10-year-old rape victim out there. You know, all of a sudden, the Republicans are the ones saying, no, the 10-year-old rape victim, somehow it's a blessing for her to have been raped and carry this baby to term. And, you know, and so they're in that trouble. Meanwhile, people can basically sit there and say, how draconian can you be? On the other side of it, Minnesota, which is basically our state laws actually go further than Roe v. Wade did, and in protected even more than in Minnesota than it did on the national level. You already had the problem for the Republicans here is you have too much red meat area where you have Republicans who get out there and they're like, no exceptions for rape, incest, life of the mother. They're all going to be outlawed. And that puts – I mean, if the Republicans are going to win in Minnesota, they've got to take the suburban seats, and it's just toxic for them. This is why you're not hearing a lot of them say a thing or else try to figure out some way they can be born-again socialists, because they're trying to figure out some way that they can sell this – you know, that we're not going to try to overturn Roe v. Wade in Minnesota. We're going to basically – this is established law. They're trying to find some way to tap dance around this to prevent from having that far-right extremist point of view be the representation for them in their races in the suburbs.
And that is clearly the thing that could screw it up for the Republicans, right? If you are pushing through something when it doesn't seem to be urgent, okay? In other words, you might have made the case for a trigger law for the Roe decision. You might have been able to make that case 3, 4, 5 months ago. We got to hurry to get something in place in case that it's overturned. Now it's overturned. So it's status quo unless you take action. Far better if you're a Republican to do nothing until after the election, get reelected, claim you therefore have a mandate for what you'll do in the regular session. But I did an interview with an elected official. It's a nonpartisan seat in Iowa this afternoon. And she said that she is, and these are not the same thing, but she was vacillating on how she actually felt. She said she was either pro-choice with a lot of limitations or pro-life with exceptions. And I dare say that's where a lot of people wind up being. The question is, where's the emphasis? And does one side go too far that then drives someone who might otherwise be receptive to the message to the other side?
Well, and then you get the problem of years of them saying no exceptions and all these things. And now all of a sudden they're nuancing their argument. It comes back to haunt them. The other ruling, which I think is interesting. Okay. We just had what was a pretty major accomplishment, a bipartisan gun safety bill that came through that put some regulations in trying to stop some of these gun slaughters. The Supreme Court ruling coming out on New York, which basically said, no, you can't really regulate guns in public places, period. Now followed by the tragic shooting amongst many that happened over the weekend, but the tragic one in Highland Park, Illinois, on the 4th of July parade. Mm-hmm. As much as Republicans, I think, were hoping to have put that issue to bed before the election, now that's back because of the Supreme Court and yet another high-profile shooting.
The Supreme Court case did not quite say what you just indicated. And this is a key distinction. What it said was the New York law said you had to justify why you needed a gun. And then it was up to a single elected official or not elected official. I mean, you know, maybe it's an appointed official. The key is you can regulate. And this is what I think the new New York law has done. You can regulate the areas, but the potential for it being arbitrary in the old law is what threw it out. In other words, they were saying you had to justify why you, Matt McNeil, needed a gun. And then some person in government made that decision. And it was just not a standardized approach. And so that leads to New York now banning it all these places. But I think that is going to be upheld as constitutional as opposed to the other one that was subject to just someone not liking the T-shirt you wore that particular day and denying you for no good apparent reason. That's what I think struck down led to the striking down of the New York law and the Supreme Court decision.
What the heck's wrong with my T-shirt today? My God, I look pretty and nice at this point. My goodness.
Here's the thing. I am not in my normal studio. I can't see your T-shirt. It seems to be red. It was just a broad comment. Apparently, you took offense, which means, I think, you're feeling a little guilty about your apparel choice.
We have to take a break. Let's come on back here in just a moment. Jeff Stein joining us, the Matt McNeil Show, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. Good to be with you. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us right now as we're talking about national and presidential politics. Jeff, turning our attention towards the prosecution, possible prosecution of Donald Trump, whereas we've had a lot focused, obviously, on January 6th, the reality is the one case that Trump is in really big trouble is in Georgia, because whereas with a call with the Ukrainians where he says, I want you to do me a favor, though. You know, here he is. He's out. I need you to find me votes. And it's recorded and on the record. And, you know, it's pretty cut and dry what he was asking the state of Georgia to do, to cheat. And now they're starting to ramp up their investigation. A lot of people have looked and said, if you're really going to look at to hold Donald Trump accountable, Georgia is where they really could do it.
He was doing nothing more. Sorry, I turned the microphone off during the break. He was doing nothing more than basically saying, help me find my lost puppy. But instead of a lost puppy, it was, you know, 30,000 votes or something like that.
Make them up.
And by the way, Wisconsin, Matt does impressions.
If you've not heard
the Donald Trump impression, that was just a taste of it.
I hear cheese curds are delicious. I'm here for them.
I should just turn the microphone off again, shouldn't I? Do you remember, you were a young boy in shorty pants, but there was a tape from Watergate where the president, President Nixon, was told, well, we need X amount of dollars, whatever, to pay somebody off. And he just simply said, we can get that. And that was the most damning statement that could have been, because he obviously, by that statement, knew how to get hush money, knew how to pay it, was on board with everything. He didn't say, I don't know nothing about gambling in this hall. It's the same sort of thing when he says, well, we just need to find votes. That's not just a statement like, well, boy, if we could just find some votes that haven't been counted. No, it was much more. And again, when you consider it's coming from the president, I heard a bit of your conversation with the audience about the Supreme Court ruling on school prayer before the break. And most of what you said, I tend to agree with, because let's say you're the coach and you do a prayer by yourself and two kids ask if they can join. Well, if you want to play, you're now all of a sudden going to join as well. So in this case, if you've got the president of the United States saying to a state official, you need to help find me some votes, even if Trump were to say, well, I was just kind of speaking metaphorically, how did the Secretary of State interpret that? I think the same way most Americans would have interpreted it.
Well, and the difference between Wisconsin, what happened up here, and what happened in Georgia is, in Georgia, the Republicans there still put country over party. The Wisconsin jackass Republicans, they basically went out there and put party over the country. And so that's the difference. And they came forward with this evidence. But you do know legal stuff better. What do you have any idea about what the potential consequences, you know, would be on a state, if there was a state charge on this versus the federal charges?
Well, they've got to be able to show that he had the criminal intent to rig an election. And this is a difficult defense, but if I'm defending him, I'd say he says stuff like this all the time. You couldn't have taken it seriously. But again, that's a pretty thin defense. So you've got to really show that it was an attempt to override an actual election, as opposed to saying, well, you know, people always find ballots in trunks of cars that aren't counted, which I don't believe. But I'm just saying, I mean, that's the you'd have to say that the Trump statement was made in a way that no one, no rational person would take seriously.
But I mean, that was his entire presidency. I mean, he took a Sharpie to a hurricane map and said, "See, they did this." I mean, there comes a point where you can't say that, because literally everything he did was lunacy, but they kept insisting it was all serious, that he had the biggest crowd, the inauguration, that he really cared about any minority group or anything like that. No, he didn't. It's pretty clear by all the things that he did. He wanted to nuke a hurricane, for God's sakes. You know, it's hard, because when you say that, the first thing that these people had to do is come out and justify it. So I think you lose that argument, don't you? If every time he said something insane, yeah,
that's what I'm saying. The best you have as a lawyer in the defense is to say the statement was not to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And then you put it against the record of all the other things that you just mentioned. That's the trick if you're the defense attorney. You're saying that the president of the United States was not to be taken seriously because he did not have the intention to force someone to commit a criminal act. Now, that's the argument you'd make. What's the chance that a jury in Georgia is going to buy it, especially when you look at the polls in Georgia, that they didn't take to their elected officials being attacked by the president of the United States, as evidenced by the fact that the Secretary of State and the governor both stood for re-election, renomination within their own parties and beat Trump-backed candidates. We'll see about the general election, but there was a bit of state pride, I'd say, at work there. And it may be the case again if that were to ever come to a jury.
Cassidy Hutchinson, in testimony, what do you think is more likely true? That Trump tried to grab the wheel of his own limo and drive to the Capitol, or that he was throwing food against the wall in the White House?
Food against the wall in the White House.
I have no doubt he did that on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, though, if it was a McDonald's hamburger, he might find that to be too much waste.
Well, he'd be licking the wall.
So there is that.
Okay? I'm so sorry, hamburger. Let me clean you up.
It's another impression, again with the impression. The thing that testimony, Ms. Hutchinson's testimony, did was make Kevin McCarthy yet again regret his decision not to field another slate of committee members. Remember, he put forth his slate. Nancy Pelosi said, "I'm not going to seat any of them." And McCarthy thought, "Okay, fine, we're going to take our ball and go home." And therefore, there is no cross-examination. There is no balance. All the things they're complaining about, McCarthy could have participated with other individuals, other members, as opposed to Jim Jordan, for example, who could be called as a witness. But he didn't do it. It's yet another McCarthy miscalculation, which is why even if the Republicans win in November, I'm not so sure he becomes Speaker of the House, quite honestly.
I actually have some question whether they win. I will ask you this. Do you think the Justice Department will eventually come around and actually file some charges here?
Oh, yeah. Depends on who holds Congress. I mean, truly, because unless this January 6th commission can finish its work by Election Day, if, in fact, the Republicans get the House, that commission never existed, and you just won't see anything. So I guess it depends on how quickly they can finish their work. I'm not saying that they're dilly-dallying, but it also depends on who wins the election. That determines whether or not the Justice Department gets the information it needs to think about filing any charges.
I think the Democrats lose. They're going to just dump everything. It's just going to be like they're just going to be a massive dump like they did with the Washington Post that one time. They're just going to give them all the information and let the media decide what to do with it. Jeff Stein, once again, I'll post the Iowa Politics Report. I'll also post this interview a little bit later on. Find his books over at totallyiowa.com, as well as your favorite bookseller online. Jeff, and a pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Talk to you next week, Matthew.
Take care. Thank you very much to the network, to the fine folks at WAUK 540 AM and 101 FM, The Shaw. You're going to be, as well as also Devil Radio 92.7 FM Madison, WTTN 1580 AM Columbus. You got your own programming. We're back, hour two up next.